transformation. And how many knows life really is all about transformation? Because, you know, you go through and you're transformed. You know, you go through, get through elementary, and now you got junior high. So you got to transform again. Now you don't stay in the same class all day. You got to find different classes. Oh, my God. And then you get that down, and then high school comes, you know, and now you got to hold up. You got to be an example. You're the bigger kids now. And then you get out there and you go away from home and you're in college and you go out and start a career or what. And then you get settled in that. And then there's another, in the men's ministry, we say it's the boyhood and then cowboy stage. Cowboy stage is where you're at finding adventure and all that stuff and heroes, superheroes. And then lover, you know, you're experiencing relationships and warrior. You're learning how to fight your battles and all. And then king is around the age 40 to 50s, where you finally have got a little success, hopefully by then, and got your little house set up, you know, and trying to learn how to lead that. And it's difficult. And all of those phases. And then sage is the last stage from the mid-60s, 70s, and on upward. And the sage they taught us last Wednesday is a stage where you have a lot of wisdom because you have a lot of experience. And hopefully you have a lot of wisdom because you've changed with your... Hopefully, yeah. Nothing sadder than that, is there, to see old people without wisdom? It's like they just didn't get it, did they, along the way, you know? And it's about the end of their journey and about as clueless as they were before. Nothing sadder than that, I don't think. Bible says, get wisdom, get understanding, you know, to seek wisdom, you know, and to pursue it. And so hopefully this is a transforming message for everybody in series, because wherever you are, there's transforming times, isn't there, in each phase of your life. We're transforming right now, just slowing down a little bit, just trying to slow down a little and do what really matters. Let me say, tell you something. It's worth slowing down. We went down Friday night, and Jana, her sister's been very ill, and one of her sisters, and there was three other sisters came, and then her sister that's ill, her daughter was there, been at the hospital for days with her mother, and you could tell she's just worn, and so they talked her into going eating, and I said, well, let me sit with her, and she said, well, I don't know if I want to leave her at all, and I said, you know, I'll take really good care of her where you're going. You just go out and... So I took her shopping a little while, and then they went to eat. And Jana said today, she said, and yesterday as well, that was such a good time with my sisters. We need to do that more. How many knows that'll never be a reality unless they get on that path? How many said that? That was so much fun with family. I need to do that more. And then some of you stuck with families. I need to do that less, you know. They won't leave or something, you know. But mostly it's the other side, isn't it? Where we need to do that more, you know. And whatever that more is we need to do, it won't become a reality unless we get on a path that says, this path will lead me from where I am here to my desired destination. And that's kind of what I want to talk to you about today. And hopefully you'll say, you know what, if I'm not where I want to be in a particular area, I'll get on that path today. And to be honest, and just be honest about that, I'm not on that path. This is what I'd like to do, you know. This is what I'd like to look like. This is what I look like. Are you with me? You know, this is the bank account I'd like to have. This is what I have. You know, or this is the relationships I'd like to have. This is what I have. And so to say, to get our desired destination, we're going to get off the path wrong because it's not producing the results we want, and we're going to get on a different path. And go from there. Everybody got your sword today? Ready to learn? Allergies. This is my Bible. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be what it says I can be. I can have what it says I can have. I can give what it says I can give. I can learn what it says I can learn. I can go where it says I can go. In Jesus' name. Are you going where it says you can go? All right. It's good to see you guys. Romans, the 12th chapter, one more time. A living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. I beseech you, I earnestly request of you, Christians, brothers, Christians, by the mercies of God, remember that's room to grow. We have room to mess up and get up. That you present your bodies a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. And that's what I'm trying to root out of me. It's a living sacrifice. It's not about me. Wherever I'm at, it's not about me. We were out at some dinner last night with some friends, and she said she manages this office in Shawnee. She says she's always running these younger girls around and doing little favors for them. And she asked one of them the other day, she said, will you follow me down to the car dealership or something, had to do something with her car? And she said, yeah, and her body shop, whatever it was, mechanic. And anyway, they closed at lunch, and it was right before lunch, and she took her car. And they said, do you need a ride back to your office? She says, about 3 miles. She said, no, I don't need a ride. I got somebody coming right after me. And about an hour later, she showed up. She said, I was just fuming. I said, well, why didn't you call somebody? I called everybody in my office, and one's out here, you know, Tecumseh, and one's at Chandler, and one's here, and nobody's in town. And she said, I called a cab. They said, well, it has to come from Oklahoma City. And she said, I was just stewing for an hour. That's a long time, isn't it? If you're out on the curb, she's just out on the curb in her dress clothes and just standing there waiting for somebody that she had done a lot of favors for. Remember we talked about when you give something, just give it away? We don't, do we? Because when you're on the curb, and you're on the curb, it's not her, it's you're on the curb, you can remember every good thing you did for them. I did this for you when you needed it. Where were you? See, we don't give away. We're not this living sacrifice it's talking about. To become that, we have to look at those that are persecuting us and say, God forgive them, for they don't really know what they're doing. We went to our men's meeting the other night, and we said, Cliff was one of our sages, and then Mark was one of our sages. The only two in there was over 60, and so we kind of picked their brain a little bit. We're going to see what the sages say. And I thought what Mark said, which, you know, most of what Mark says is just going to be kidding around, right? That's his gift if you didn't know. It's aggravation. I'm glad he's not here. Don't give him a tape, okay? He's an ex-Marine. You may not find my body. But he said something that was very transforming in along those lines. When one of the guys asked, well, what do you do about this in relationships and, you know, when it's not working or you're pushing back and forth and all this? And he said, you know what, something's really helped me. And I thought this was really profound. He said, what I have found is when I feel like people have messed up, really, he said screwed up. You know, that's what we use there. Just screwed up role. He said, I found out in my older age, you know, these older latter years, he said, I've discovered that two things. One is that I need to have complete forgiveness and understanding for them instead of holding a grudge or, you know, telling them what they need to do. And he said, the second thing I've learned is this, that it's not usually as near as bad as I thought it was in reality. And it all depends, doesn't it? How it affected me is how bad it is. See, when you mess up and it affects me, the more it affects me, the worse I think it is. Because now you're affecting me. You're leaving me on the curb. If you left somebody else on the curb for an hour, I think, well, you shouldn't do that. Now, come on, you know. But if you leave me on the curb for an hour, you better not do that. And he said, I've just discovered that it's not usually as bad as I think it probably initially was. And I thought, that takes season, doesn't it? That takes aging. And that takes deliberate love, unconditional love, to say when one of my people that I love, family, friend, whoever it may be, messes up, that I'm going to look at that with the mercies of God. A living sacrifice is for the mercies of God. See, He gives us room to be that living sacrifice, but we're it's hard for us because we come alive when we should be a sacrifice. And sacrificing for someone else, we come alive. When I was sitting with Retha, Jana's sister, the other day, I was there for probably about 3 or 4 hours, and they went out and ate. Just had a good time. I said, I love to read. I'm just going to read. And so I sat in there reading and waiting on her. And And finally, she asked for her daughter, and I said, well, the girls are gone. She said, what's going on? And I said, well, the girls are gone to dinner, and I'm here taking good care of you. What do you need? If you need anything, and you're in the hospital, I just didn't know how much she... And she said, I know, but what's going on? Why am I going through this? And I said, well, I don't know why you're going through this. Remember the events we talked about? Life is events. This is an event for us and for her, especially for her. But it's altering the whole family because now her event affects us. We didn't ask for it. She didn't ask for it. She don't know why she's going through. And so all I know to tell her, I said, you know what? I said, I don't know why you're going through this, but here's what I do know. I know that if God doesn't give us deliverance from, He'll give us strength to go through, and that you and I both know, Retha. She said, thank you, Jackie Dale. And she was peaceful again. Yesterday, we thought she wouldn't make it through that. Yesterday, she sat up in bed and ate a steak. Different event, different day. One day, we're at the bottom. The next day, we're eating steak. That's the way life is, isn't it? One day, you're like, yes, I hit a home run. The next day, you're fouled out. Ask the Lakers. How about those Thunder, huh? Woo! Kobe Bryant said, I've never heard anything like that, that noise. And then I heard we broke the decimals on the loud. You know, I thought, wow. Life is events, isn't it? One day you're the hero, and the next day a second season team from Oklahoma is just give you a spanking. This has nothing to do with the sermon, but it's funny. This is true. I was listening to the radio the other day. I like country music. God help me. And I was listening. And the guy says, he called in and he says, I got a comment about the Thunder. He says, why don't we have big stars at our game? I thought, Bubba, we're in Oklahoma. Duh! They have Jack Nicholson and all those big stars. Why don't stars don't live in Oklahoma, you know? Christian superstars, we do, right? But the Hollywood stars don't live here. We don't shoot movies here, and it's not. And so last night on the game, we sat there watching the game with some friends, and this guy had a mask on, like a WWF mask. Did you see him? Mike's like, what is that? I said, that's Bubba. They got stars, we got Bubba. But next to him was a guy with something, looked like an old-timey football helmet just clamped down on his head. No color. The colors didn't even match. I said, we just got Bubba's, and they got stars. But you know what? They were having fun because it's an event. It's a celebrating event. And so they just put something on. I can just imagine those two guys getting ready. That looks good, Bubba. Yeah, wear that. That looks real good. Come on, give me some skin, you know. Because life is about events, isn't it? It's a good event. It's a fun event. And they just had fun last night. And it's okay. You know, when the opportunity comes for that event, have fun. It's time to have fun. When the opportunity comes to minister because your loved one's dying, we'll minister. Because that's an event. And that's we'll go from both. And we need both to keep us floored into reality. The path of drugs, that's an event. It's a bad event, but it's an event. Path of alcoholism, it's an event. That's a path that's we're on, and it's a bad event, but it's an event. Path of divorce. It's a bad path, but it happens to over 50% of the people. Second marriage is over 60. Third marriage is over 75%. It's an event. And it happens. And so we have to deal with it. And we have to... It's hard to become a living sacrifice when we have all these events. But he said, you know, in the midst of all of it, if I don't give you strength to go over, I'll give you strength to go through. And that's what I love about serving God. Regardless of where you are, you can start there. And he said, you can become a living sacrifice. Holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. It's reasonable because the power that he instills in us gives us a reasonable ability to do that. It's not it's supernatural, but it's a reasonable service because He's empowered you. You know, if I gave you a large check and I said just go out and buy you a new car and I gave you, you know, $100,000, how many said that would be a reasonable thing? You could pretty well go out and buy you any car you wanted, right? See, the guy that won the lottery, $250 million. What you gonna do, Bubba? No front teeth. I'm gonna pay my electric bill. The boy needs help. I thought he needs a financial counselor. Because he don't have a clue, does he? One person said, he said, I'm going to put a new motor in my truck. Bubba, go get you a new truck. Come on. And he'll never be the same. And statistics show us that he'll not only never be the same, but he'll be worse off. Because now all of his friends have changed. Every friend and family member he has they'll never look at him the same. So this event that he sets, and he has this big picture of this check with a big smile on his toothless face, will change. You mark my word. If you can keep up with him, you mark my word. It's changed him forever. It's an event he'll probably live to regret, most likely. And you know what the thing is? It shows that we're alike like Bubba because we pursue. How many would just love to win the lottery? How many, if you won the lottery, say, no, thank you, don't. Give it to charity. You're not ruining my life. We don't have the insight for that. We don't. We're just like Bud. We think, well, I'm getting something. My friend and I were talking about that last night. He said, I'd have a house in Florida. I'd have a house here. I'd buy me a new gold wing, and I'd ride it to Alaska, and I'd give it away, and I'd fly back home. I said, in other words, you'd just be totally self-absorbed, wouldn't you? He said, absolutely. But at least he's honest. Because most of you, you know, here's what we used to, when we talk about first lottery first came out. All right, if I won the lottery, I'd pay off the church. Yeah, right. Would you sign a waiver for that, please? Put that in writing. And then you'd ruin the church. Because we don't need anything. We've got everything we need. Yeah. So life is about events, and it's hard to navigate, isn't it, to be that wholly acceptable sacrifice because there's events. And so we just have to stay grounded in the Word. He says, do not be conformed. And here's what happens to us. We become conformed to what's around us. Remember, family, life experience, and culture is the three things that really form us. And so he says, be careful not to be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And how many knows this is the renewal word, the manual right here. This is what will renew your mind. This is why we need this on a daily basis. This is your spiritual food. Just like your food for your natural body, you need it. You need to get this. And the good thing about this, it's always healthy. You don't have to worry about getting unhealthy words when you read this manual. You know, we have to check all the saturated fats and all this stuff, which we look at and then go ahead and eat it. But we do check it. You know what you're eating? Absolutely, but it's good, isn't it? Yeah. And so it says that you may be prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So this keeps us on the right track, and that's where we're headed today. This keeps us on the right track. Now, just to review, life is about events. And the main thing is this, what you think about the event. I hope if you don't take anything else away from this, you'll get that. And really get it in your spirit, that life is about events, and the main thing about any event that takes place in my life is what I think about that event. It's the most important thing, because what you think about that event is what you're going to deal with later when you're left with just the feelings. The event's over, and what you think about it, now you're just left holding those feelings. And so that's why what you think about what just happened to you is most important, because you're going to deal with those feelings when it's done. It's going to make all the difference in the world what you think. And that's why if you know what this says, you can think what's really you need to be thinking. David said it this way, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. He knew the key. And that's why God said about David, he's a man after my own heart. Even though he committed adultery and he committed murder, most of the time he was there and met that mercies of God, that's where he stayed in. Under the law, how many just realize, under the law, David should have been, had corporal punishment under two accounts, murder and adultery, and God, under that, that's how big God's mercy, under the old covenant, God said, let him live. Now, if it's your family member, you say, oh, God's merciful. But if it's somebody that's murdered your husband, your brother, took his wife, it's not quite so exciting, is it, when they give him mercy as an event. And what you think about that event is what you're going to feel after the event's gone. So those things, I hope you get that. And just realize everything, this conforming thing is everything that's in your experience, what you experience in life. And I've seen so many people that have a bad experience and just knock the wind out of them. There's no wind in their sail, and they just you know, are so, they live defeated lives. And how many knows one experience should not do that to us? One no should not, you know, or one rejection or one hurt or one death or one divorce or one whatever it is, should not do that to us. Because we have the whole rest of our life to live. And we want to live the life we've always wanted. Jan and I said, and I didn't come to prayer this morning because I'm taking her to the airport just as soon as we're done. I called the prayer team. I said, I'm going to spend this morning with my wife. She's going to be out of town for a few days. And so as soon as church is over, I won't be able to mingle. I'll leave. But I spent it with her. We went and had a little breakfast and just sat. And then when we got here a little early, we just sat in the car and talked for a while. And you know why? Because she's the love of my life. And we just enjoy each other and we enjoy life. And you know, I don't want to take that for granted. And so we just spent all the time we could together before she took off, you know, and gone a few days. And you know, the religious side of me said, well, you need to be there and you're the leader. And, you know, but I have to get my priorities. It's God, family, and church. And so normally I'm here praying, and I prayed at home this morning. I went through, and I don't like it when I'm not here for that. She said, we're sitting there, she said, I just feel better, don't it? It just feels relaxing. I said, I'm like a gate in a racehorse right now. Or a racehorse in a gate. Whatever that is. Let me rewind. Like a racehorse in a gate. I said, I'm just like this. Just ready to run. That's just the way I am on Sundays. I'm focused and I'm sitting there and I'm trying to enjoy our breakfast, but my mind is on this. Because I know you're sitting there and you're thinking, is that it? Is that all you're preaching? So I try to keep you happy. I want to keep you transformed more than happy, but happy's a good trail to go to transformation, isn't it? It's better than just spanking you to transformation. Guilting you to transformation. Yeah. Been there, done that, haven't you? Yeah. So then we talked about the three deadlies, and never underestimate these three deadlies. You know, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Because, man, we're consumed with that. We are. We're Americans. We're consumed with that. And so John warned us against that and said, be careful. These are the things that's after you to transform you, to conform you back to the world. Just like the lottery winner. And you know what? In fact, that would be a good little exercise for you to do when you're in your spare time. You got just a moment or two to think, what would you do with the money if you won the lottery? And don't try to be holy. Try to be you. What would you really do? You know, take your halo off and just answer honestly. What would you do? I don't mean right now, Evelyn. But she's thinking, isn't it? It's hard not to talk, isn't it, when you're thinking $250 million. I always thought if I won the lottery, what would really be neat is everybody that had perfect attendance, $1 million, and the rest of them like, oh, man. For church, you know, everybody showed up every day. Yeah. And then I just make some happy and some mad. And I'd ruin all the lives that I gave $1 million to apiece, and, you know, and the rest of them be mad at me. Hallelujah. So it just shows you where we are. Last week I gave you some transformation questions, remember? Why do I live like this? Why do I choose to live like this? If you want to be transformed, you have to ask yourself, why do I choose to live like this? This is not where I want to be. This is not how I want to feel. This is not how I want to act or react. So why do I choose to live like this? And if we get honest, that's a liberating question, because the fact is we want to blame circumstances and economy and whatever else. A gentleman was talking to the other night, and I said, how's it going? He said, oh, man, it's rough right now. I said, what do you mean it's rough? He said, well, I'm not making much money. And I said, well, are you giving your tithes and offerings and giving? He said, well, that don't work in my business. It's the economy, he said. It's the economy. I said, well, I live in this economy, and my economy's good. Yeah, but you're a different field, you know. I mean, those giving works. Because God said it works. Giving is a sign, and that's where we're headed. It's the path that we're on determines where we're going to go and what we're going to get. So why do I choose to live like this? My second question was, what is my motive? You know, what is my motive? What is motivating me to act like this, live like this? You know, if you're not getting along with your spouse, you need to ask the question, what's motivating me? And one of you is going to say, because I don't want them to get the last word. I mean, that's honest, isn't it? Jesus said Moses gave you to build a divorcement because of the hardness of your heart. I've never known a good divorce, have you? You want to get divorced? If you want to, I love you. It'd be better for you. I'd do it for you because I love you. I've never seen that. I have seen it. If you want a divorce, I'll give you a divorce. But something's wrong. Something needs to be adjusted. And you have to ask, what's my motive for acting like this? For men, you have to say that, you know what? I am the head of my home, and as head of my home, God said that the thing that I'm to rule with is love, unconditional love. Like Jesus loved you, you're supposed to love your wife. And I've never seen one that's loved like that just wanted to leave. And I'm not saying some of you didn't love her like that and they left. I'm just saying I've never seen that. Number three is, I said, you know, what am I becoming as I focus on while I'm living like this and my motives? What am I becoming? If I stay on this path, what am I becoming? Which leads us to today's thought. And here's the question I have for you. The transforming question is today, as I look at the path I'm on today, the road I'm on today, is it headed toward where I'm wanting to go, my desired destination? And that's pretty simple, isn't it? You'd think we'd all look at that, but how many times we don't? Proverbs says it like this. Proverbs says, the prudent man or the wise man sees danger and he hides out. He takes refuge. But the simple see the same signs and they continue on and suffer the consequences. So we have to ask, what path am I on? Is this the path that I'm on? Is this going to produce the desired destiny that I want? What path are you on? If you got a good relationship with your spouse, well, you must be on a good path. If you don't, here's what part of the problem. You're on the wrong path. Stop doing, start doing different things. You're on the wrong path. You want better, so stop what you're doing. It's not working. If it's been this way for a while, get off that path. But we don't, because we're like the simple. We're not like the wise. We're not like the prudent. We're like the simple. I can remember when I used to smoke. Right on the box, it told me how bad they are. And I'd buy them and smoke them. And the box told me. It did. People would tell me, it's going to kill you. I don't know who said it. One of them used to say, that's another tack there on your coffin. I said, it is not. It is not. Let me ask you something. Are we wise or simple? All the labels say trans fat, saturated fat. Are you wise or simple? Well, I know what it says. And I don't want the result of what I'm going to get from eating that, but this is the path I'm on. So the fact is, you either get the results of this path that you're on with the trans fat and the saturated fat, or you get off the path. But can I tell you something, just to be honest with you? I'm still, a lot of the times, on the trans and saturated path. And I try to walk it off. I'm on a good path there, because I'm walking and exercising and things, but I'm just saying, I'm simple when it comes to that. Now, I was wise, and when I finally wised up about my smoking, and I threw them away, and by the help and grace of God, but I'm just saying, there's a lot of choices that I make. It keeps me on the simple path, not in the path of the wise. But how many knows the road signs are everywhere? They are. They're on the carton. They're on the stuff we buy. They're everywhere. And so it's not, you know, Jesus got onto the religious community because they couldn't discern the times and the signs. You ever go around a roadblock, road construction, and you think, well, I can't see anything. And my house would be quicker this way. So we just pull on through and here we go. And most of the time you look around and somebody says, well, there they go. I guess it's open. And here they come. The blind leads the blind. They'll both run off in the bridge. The bridge is out. Yeah, bridge is out. We were going, coming home from somewhere one day on our bike, bridge out. We just kept going. Sure enough, hey, the bridge is out. Wow. But you know what we found when we got there? Other Harley riders sitting there at the bridge. Y'all know that bridge is out? We saw the sign. And we're like that. We're like the simple people. We're not like the wise and the prudent. Hey, you know what? If you get on your wife, you know she's going to get on you. I know, but I just simple and I'm going to go ahead and get on her anyway. I'm not stopping till she does. Well, just continue on down the path of confusion. And we wonder why it's so confusing at our house. Because we're on the wrong path. There's signs everywhere. Love, submit, respect, honor, give preference to, signs everywhere, but we just know we're going to stay on this path because He started it. I don't care what the sign said along the path. He started it. Where's your sign for that? So we just continue on the path that's not productive, that's we know the fruit's obvious, but we'll just continue on because we're simple. We're not wise. So we continue on down the path, and it's convenient. It's easy. How many knows we are a society about convenience? If it's convenient, I'll take it. You know what? I told you what I'm working on, right? I'm not walking out of fast food restaurants because they're too slow. I'm just being honest with you. This is supposed to be fast food. This is not fast food. I'm out of here. Is that simple? Can't even enjoy your burger because it's not fast enough? The wise man says, it appears that it takes a long time for this fast food restaurant to serve burgers, so I'll not frequent here again. Y'all have a good day. Not stand there stewing because they're not going to change. Think they should change for me. Well, they're not going to. So why don't you just enjoy the day? Either stay and get the burger or go to the next place. Guy in front of you is not... You know, isn't it funny? People get new cars and just drive real slow. I'm like, are you afraid you're going to wear that out or what? They just poke along. That's driving behind a guy. I mean, I'd have thought, is his new car dying or, you know? Now, it's an event. I'm being transformed. And I have to remind myself because that's been an old cycle of mine for a long time. And how many knows the longer you've been in a cycle, the harder it's going to be to break. If you've been on a road for so long, your car just wants to turn on that road. Here's what I know. When I came to church this morning, I had to go the opposite way to get here. When I left my house, you cannot go east toward my church. The only way out of my addition is west. And so when I got in my car, I had to go the opposite direction for a while to get here. How many knows when you're trying to get off a path that's not, you don't want on, you have to go the opposite direction for a while. And you think, oh, that's not where I want to be. But I'm telling you, if you want to get to a desired destination where there's peace and harmony and love and blessing and health and all the things we desire, we have to get off the path that has produced what we don't want and get on another path. So for a while, I had to go the opposite direction. I had to go west. It's the only way out of my addition. If I could fly, I could just fly over my house and come straight over here. which, by the way, just off note, but I want to do that someday. I envy every time I see a buzzard up there. Oh, man, I want to do that. I do. And someday, when I die, I'm going to be able to do that. I mean, I'm going to soar to planets with angels and eagles, and so I'm just going to stay on that path for that reason. Well, one of the reasons. But then, you know what? I had a choice. When I got to Pennsylvania, I could go north or I could go south. But you know, the only way it really leads to here, or the quickest way, you could go south and go way around. But the way that headed to this destination today was north. I'm still not going east. I want to go east, but now I had to go west, and now I have to go north. And all I'm saying is sometimes you have to go in a different direction that you don't want to go to get to where you want to be. I don't want to be nice to him. Well, you don't have to, sister. I'm not looking at you, I'm just, you know. I don't have to, sister. Yeah. No, you don't have to, sister. You can just go right down the direct path and butt heads and just keep that all your life. If you want to. Janice's sister said, I bet Jack never says a cross word to you. You know, I was the hero because I set the patient and they all went out and laughed and had a good time. So I was the hero. I'm the man of the hour. Next week they'll all talk about me, but boy, one night I had a, you know. He never says, I bet y'all never get in a fight, do you? And she said, well, sometimes. And I thought, well, if you just straighten up, we wouldn't ever get in a fight. No, I didn't think that. So I'm going north on Penn. Why? Because I have a desired destination to get here. Now, when I get to I-240, I can go east or west. And I have the choice. I have the choice to go east or west. But I only have the choice to go east if I want to get to my desired destination. And I'm telling you, when God says, love your enemies, and you want peace, and you refuse to love your enemies, you just turned and went on the wrong path. And God says, if you want health, use moderation, and we don't use moderation, we just took the other path. And we just need to be aware that this is, if it's not working, just stop and say, what path am I on? What's happening here? It's the wrong path. You need to stop. Maybe go off the exit or something. Take a detour. Because it's not working. But you are the driver. God will never come into your life and make you turn anywhere. He just won't. He just won't do that to us. And so if we want to have right relationships, we have to go down that path of forgiveness and mercy and unconditional love. We can go, we can take other paths. I'm going to pout, and I'm going to do that, I'm going to, you know, do. But it just don't get to where we have healthy relationships. We have to take the path that He said, this is the turn. This is where you get off of that path so you're living with regrets and all this kind of stuff. So then I get on 240 and we're headed east. And my wife, I guess because she's traveling, I don't know, she said, you know, I just feel like kind of like vacation, you know, because we're always separate. And on Sunday morning, she stays there and usually sleeps in a little longer, and then she comes later, and I always get here early, and I'm focused on this. And so we're together for we're home, but we're apart because we've just got different functions, different things. But today, we ate us a little breakfast and just sat there and enjoyed. And she said, you know, I could just keep on going down 40 and just go somewhere. And I said, here we go. And I just gave a little gas. And I said, oh, but that's not where we're headed, is it? So some Sunday, you know, I don't show up and you're saying, where is he? Said, well, Jana talked me into it, okay? And Bill, you can preach if you would. No. Okay. Yeah, dismiss. Bill's preaching. Go home. Amen. Recess is in. And we all I'm saying is, you know, He's given us all kinds of signs to get to where there's blessing and hope and health and in all areas of our lives, healthy finances, healthy relationships, you know, all areas of life. He's given us, He said, in fact, you should have life and have it more abundantly as my children. My yoke is easy, my burden's light. And we walk around and run around stressed out and worried because we won't get off the path we're on. John Ortberg. You remember I was telling you a little story about Mallory's little D-Day? In fact, Joanne said today, I'm having a D-Day. I thought that's funny. And I preach all these profound things, and all you can think of is D-Day. That's how profound I am, really. But he told a funny story about his wife and him. He said they had one of the first pieces of furniture they ever bought, and he said it was really nice. He said, in fact, they traded a Super Beetle off for it, and it was a mauve. He said they called it mauve. He said it really is Pepto Bismol color, but we just liked it, and it was and it is our something we could really afford. And after just really stretching and said, but the salesman said, you don't want mauve. You got three children. Get something the color of dirt. Yeah, that is wisdom. And she said, oh no, we love this mauve furniture. And she said, trust me, you don't need a mauve. You know, all these kids, there's a 4-year-old, a 2-year-old, and a 6-month at home. She said, but they got the mauve couch. And said it was so funny because, here, you know, the signs are up, right? The guy that does this for a living has given them a big sign. Don't buy this. Oh, but we're simple. We think we're the exception. Our kids would never do anything. I know those other people. Now, if I was them, I wouldn't buy furniture like that either. With their kids that they have, but with our kids. So he buys the mob furniture, the couch. And said it was so funny. He got them home and said the mother set them down and said, now listen, thou shalt not sit upon this couch. It was like the tree in the midst of the garden. Of all the other trees you may freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not. And so it's just like that. On all the other furniture thou mayst sit, but thou shalt not sit on the mauve furniture. Thou shalt not look at it. Thou shalt not touch it. Thou shalt not eat upon it or drink upon it. Thou shalt not breathe upon it. For in the day thou do, thou shalt surely die. You give them the what for, you know, just went through the process. And then one day, there was a red jelly stain on the mauve furniture. And said it was so hilarious. She lined them all up. And said, did you know what the man where we bought this furniture said, you cannot get a stain on this because it will never come out. Do you know how long never is? She was asking her children. That's how long you'll be grounded in your chair, the one that did this. And said, she just made him stand there and sweat it out. Said the little 2-year-old Mallory was the first to break. Started crying. Said, Laura did it. I don't know why, but I thought of you and your sister when that happened. Did you think of that too? Laren would never do that, I'm sure. But it said none of them would ever profess that they did it. None of them. And he said, I knew they wouldn't because I did it. He said, but I never told her. And said, until I wrote this book, it's never been known who spilt the red jelly on the couch. But we're just like them. We see the signs. Don't date this. But I'll change him. You know. But she's pretty. I want a good God-fearing wife, the young man says. Then he just dates whatever comes along. I thought you wanted a good God-fearing. Well, I do. I'll transform her. Yeah, good luck with that. That's what you ladies wanted, just a man to come in and transform you. Is that what you're looking for? I'm looking for a man to transform me. Shoot. You don't even want to know what we think. You want to tell us all your problems and don't say nothing. Just pat us and say, oh, honey, bless your heart. That's right. So that's what you want to look for, just one that you can just pat and say, oh, bless your heart. When you do that, you're in good shape. But you start saying, you know what you need to do, honey? Even when my wife will actually, she will directly ask me about something. I say, I don't know. I don't know. When I got 3 suggestions, but I know she's going to reject all three, and I'll just feel rejected. She'll say, oh, you know what I'm going to do? Whatever you want to, that's what you're going to do. So that's when I figured out we're going to walk. We walk and talk every evening, and she tells me about her day, and I tell me about my day, and we love that because we get to just vent, just to vent. But that's a road that works for us, and it's working, so I'm going to stay on that path. Now, if the road is working for you, stay on that path. You probably have found the secrets of this word that will set you free and liberate you. But if it's not working, let me challenge you as we close out this series. For the life you've always wanted, get off that path. If you're always upset and hurt for something, get off that path. Only you can change that. How can I change it? Well, you start just loving people where they are and letting God heal your heart and mind. He'll do that for you. Because He said He would. If you'll bless them instead of hurt at them, you'll be transformed, because that's why He said you get there. I know you have to go the opposite direction for a while, but that's where you're going to wind up, is in it'll come around, because it's a God thing. I know that giving your tithes and offerings doesn't make sense. If you take money out of your pocket and you give money, that doesn't add up to more money. But you got to get off of that stage. If you're broke all the time and can't be blessed, get off of that thing and let God bless you. Give some away. He said if you'll scatter it, it'll come back. It works. It works. But you got to go the opposite direction for a while. But trust Him. Just trust God. Live a pure life. Listen, He said that's how we quench the Holy Spirit, when we live outside of purity. And God says, don't do these things. They're impure. Oh, but it feels good. Well, it's not healthy, and it won't take you where you want to go. Solomon looked out his window, and there was a young man, and he was going down the street toward the harlot's house. And she didn't say she was a harlot. She said, oh, my husband's out of town, and he'll be gone for days, and I've perfumed my bed, and we're going to have a glorious night. Solomon said, he's going down to the road to slaughter. But it don't look like slaughter. It don't feel like slaughter. And the next day in gym, he'll be telling all the boys about his glorious night. With all the signs there that God put along his path. But he's not on the path of righteousness, because he's quenched the righteousness, the Holy Spirit. Now the Holy Spirit, and he can't see the signs anymore. They're passing by, but when we live in unrighteousness, we can't see the signs. When we live in bitterness and regret and hurt, we live in all this stuff, and we can't see the signs as we're passing by. They're just passing by, and we wonder why we can't get off the road. And all I'm saying, get on the road where God said. If God said it, just trust Him. Take that path and live the life you've always wanted. It's a great life. It's a great life. Full of peace and blessing and health and happiness that God will give to us. Father, we thank You today for Your Word. We ask in Jesus' name that this last sermon in this series, God, that You'll help us to examine our hearts today. Just be honest and come, Holy Spirit, and really show us in the light. We don't want to live like this all of our life, but we are right now. And so in these areas where we want to change, we ask You to shine the light and help us to get off that path and get on a path that says, you know what, there's peace in here. There's joy in here. No more impatience for me. I'll have to battle it, and that'll be my battle, but I'll know this is an event. I'll know that this is something that I'm being transformed in, and I will know that You're going to help me through the power of the Holy Spirit. In whatever area that these precious children of Yours are battling in today, I ask You to help them to get off that path. They're the only ones that have control of their vehicle. Help them to get off the path today in Jesus' name. To find a different way, to do it Your way, so they can experience life and abundant peace and joy and experience the life they've always wanted. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're here today and you need Christ, maybe you hadn't just strayed from Him, but you've gone all the way. You don't belong to Him. Now listen, for some of you, if you've ever prayed the sinner's prayer sincerely from your heart, this is not for you. This is for people that just says, you know, I've played church or I've been in church, but you know, this is for you. And if you're here today, just pray this with me. You can pray it to just you and Jesus, but just pray it. Dear Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner and I want off this road. I want to know that I'm on my way to heaven through the grace of Jesus Christ. And today, Lord, I give my heart and life to You. be my Lord and be my Savior. I am truly sorry for my sins, and I give my life to You, Lord. Come and rule my life in Jesus' name. Amen. While Christians' heads are bowed, would you just raise your hand if you sincerely prayed that from your heart? Anyone today? Thank you very much. Okay. Amen.